to this week's Power Up. We are so excited to have you here. Ma Garrett is joining me as always.
God, I'm making an entrance.
What was your...
I think I'd learn by now.
I missed it. What happened?
Oh, look, if you missed it, nothing. Nothing at all happened. Yay! So glad to be doing Power Up. We've got an amazing guest on. She's one of my favorite people on the planet, so I'm super, super stoked to be chatting with her today and talking about playing, watching, and reading. And she's doing, like, faces, which is so sweet. You guys know her from Rooster Teeth. We've already done a show on Always Open, which you guys can check out on the Rooster Teeth channel as well. Please welcome Barbara Dunkelman, everybody.
I was going like this, because when Maude calls you one of her favorite people, all you could do is just blush and giggle.
Barb, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited to get to talk to you guys and hang out. It feels like just getting to chat with my friends and hang out and socialize and just have a good time. And it's nice to be talking to people who aren't Rooster Teeth for a little bit.
Hi. Chat is going off, seeing that you are here, which is amazing. And the last time we did hang out was for the Always Open show. Trisha and I were on it, and that was at the launch around area time of Power Up. So this is kind of like 30 episodes later.
That's does that mean it's been 30 weeks since then?
I mean, it's been a long quarantine. I feel like my answer to everything is that it's been 85 years, GIF.
Yeah. Let's look at the flashback where someone's drawing my necklace. We're great.
Yeah, why not? Like, great tits in the picture, too, right? The whole shebang.
Yeah.
I mean, that's always great. Always.
And have an adorable moment at the end. How many? Oh, Barb, I'm on the list. Bing. That's one.
What list?
Pun.
Oh. Bravo. I feel like we're going to be, like, silently competing throughout the whole show.
I know. I shouldn't have said anything. I shouldn't have, like, made it a thing. But, of course, every time we're on something, everyone goes, wow, death by pun much. It's like, hey, good way to go.
All right, chat. You have been called. You have a task now. There are pun wars officially going on. And I need you to keep track between Barb and Maude, who is currently winning the pun wars. So please make sure you update on that. Barb, what have you been up to? How's your quarantine? What's your day-to-day look like?
Oh, man. It's weird. Every day feels so different and so, like, I don't know what's going to happen today. But at the same time, every day feels the exact freaking same. Like, I wake up in the same place every day, the same routine in the morning, the same routine at night, everything like that. I'm used to traveling a lot, so it feels very monotonous. But then during the day, I don't know what news is going to come out, what's going to happen at work, what technical difficulty we're going to experience, all this kind of stuff. But, you know, it's definitely been okay. Mm-hmm. It comes and goes. Some weeks are worse than others, but just trying to stay as positive as possible and just keep going, keep moving.
Do you think that the travel element is like, because I mean, we've hung out in New York together, Austin together, LA together. Do you think that there is a part of traveling that really does kind of like cleanse a monotony and just kind of keeps, I don't know, for me, it keeps me super invigorated. Like, it's just the whole notion of being stuck inside the same four walls, even though life is different every single day, that's the same. Is that one of the things you miss the most?
Absolutely. And I knew it would be too. The second quarantine started, I was like, God, I'm gonna miss going places. But I mean, how long could this last? And then now we're in month 7 or something of X amount. So I definitely agree with you though. It's very cleansing. And as someone who I lived alone since I was 18 and then have lived with my boyfriend Trevor for the last year and a half, I really like my independence. And traveling is kind of a time where I get to like stay in a hotel room by myself and get to just like be on my own and you know, do my own thing for a while. Not saying I obviously don't, you know, I love being with Trevor and I love spending time with him, but it's also nice to have your own time every now and then. So you know, it's cleansing in a lot of ways, but also just getting to experience different places and different people and going to cons and seeing, you know, friends you don't get to see very often unless it's at cons. It's like a whole network of people that you just don't get to interact with or see at all during this. And it sucks.
It sucks.
It sucks.
The fact that I just want to give everyone a big hug, but it's like,
that's why we have shows like this, so we can connect with our friends digitally. Because, yeah, I mean, between E3 and Comic-Con, that's at least 100 people that I would have gotten to see and hang out with that I don't normally get to hang out with, which, you know, like Maude, I think, was saying before we even went live, it's like, even if people live close to you, sometimes you really only see them at work functions and work events. So not having that, it takes a hit on your friendships.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's just like, you know, especially when it's such a big part of your life, and it's going to sound weird, but, you know, part of what I loved doing was getting dressed up and glammed up for these events and doing parties and socializing and all that kind of stuff, to a point now where I'm in, like, you know, hoodies and sweatpants all day every day. And I feel like I've lost a bit of my identity because of it. Not saying like my identity is completely tied into like fashion or looks or whatever, but it makes you feel good. I love
fashion stuff though. You would like re-inspire how I can wear clothes that exist in a wardrobe, the way that you would layer and compile pieces together. It's like, that's so brilliant. And I feel really good with those. Yeah, but you're right. Like, if you're not going out, like, what's the point?
It's kind of tricky. I know. I did a photo where I put on heels just for fun to take a photo because I missed wearing heels.
Yep.
Like, what does that feel like?
What, putting on high heels?
5'9" girls. Yeah. What does that feel like?
Like, missing wearing.
It's
heels.
Just weird. It's so weird. And I wish that I had like a very nice.
Nice.
I've got cats on them.
They do have cats on them, and they're cute.
I'm pussyfooting around when I wear them.
Oh, Time Wars! Score it, chat. Score it. Right? Barb, have you...
We're going to hate each other by the end of this. We'll be like,
Rasfaz in chat is saying, terms of service. No, she had shoes on her feet. If I were to show you my bare feet, then we could start talking Twitch terms of service. But she's okay. That was not...
Is that a Twitch term of service? You can't show bare feet?
Yes, did you? So this was one of, like, the early Twitch things. When I was an OG, when I first started back in, like, 2012 as a Twitch partner, not allowed to show feet on stream, like, ever in any capacity.
Because I'm pretty sure I've got 18 pages worth of feet pics on WikiFeet.
But not on Twitch.
Thank God.
Yeah, so...
I don't need to add to that.
But I Twitch tries to very carefully not be associated with like the webcam performer market. Mm. And so they skew very far in the other direction on certain things. But feet was a really funny one for a while. And now now I think the rule is you can show feet, just not in a sexual way, but that's kind of vague. So
I did say pussyfooting.
You did. Well, hopefully.
In the same sentence, that's sexual by nature.
We're going to cancel it. Turn off. I've had in in so long.
Maude, you just got to stop being so sexy, okay?
I can't help it.
Barb, I was going to ask you.
Look like a toe.
You're always beautiful to me, both of you. That's the most lovely thing I've ever seen in my life.
No.
Barb, I was going to ask you if you have found anything to break up the monotony of quarantine as far as, like, new COVID-safe ideas. Like, for me, I'd never been to a drive-in before in my life. I went to my first drive-in. That was cool. Like, have you found any kind of adventures that are things that would be outside of your norm, but now it's like, hey, well, if that's what's going on.
That's a really good question, and I wish I could say yes, because... now I just feel sad. But I've been like interested in trying a bunch of stuff, and I have a habit of like, oh, this hobby might be cool to try, and I'll like buy all the supplies for it, and then I'll do it for like a day or two, and then I'll never continue. I actually last week just got a pair of roller skates because I was like, let's try this because it looks like fun and it's exercise, so it's kind of both, and it's finally now getting to a temperature in Austin that you could actually be outside and not want to go inside immediately because it's so swelteringly hot. So I'm hoping that I could actually find time to practice and not hurt myself either.
What temperatures do you average in those days? What's that?
Right now it's still in like the 80s, but we'll have like a few months of like 70s, 60s up until like early December, and then it gets really cold. And by really cold, I mean cold for Austin, where it's like high 30s, low 40s kind of thing.
That's cold.
Yeah.
That's really cold. Roller skating would be great. Honestly, I've seen so many pics of women looking so cool and trendy and like doing things, and they make it look so easy that, yeah, I'd be exactly the same. I'd be like, I want to do it, put it in, break my nose, and be like, cool, all right, I'm going to stay inside and play more.
I bought all the pads. I have a helmet. I have the elbow pads, the like wrist pads, the knee pads, everything. Cause I'm like, I don't want to be at a hospital right now, obviously. And on top of everything and risk being around anyone that's sick and stuff like that. So it's just, I got to be really careful. I'm trying to take it slow.
Sure. That totally makes sense. Chat right now is confirming that, Barb, you are Canadian originally.
Yep.
How did you make the transition here? How did that happen for you? Was it work related, or did you just come with family?
It was work related. Yeah. So I actually, people who know me probably know I'm with Rooster Teeth, production company here in Austin, Texas. I actually started watching Red vs. Blue, which was Rooster Teeth's first show, back in 2004. And I was I was part of their community. I was like one of the first, I think like 20,000 people on the site. I was super involved in their community. And then I ended up volunteering for them at PAX East in 2010. And essentially it worked out to Bernie and Matt, who at the time were running the company. They were like, well, you know, we really like you, and obviously you're a huge part of the community, and we need a community manager, so we should find a way for you to come down to Austin and work with us. So it was a whole process of getting a work visa with Rooster Teeth. But in December of 2011 is when I moved down officially.
Yeah. And you've been in Austin the whole time. If there's anywhere else in the world you would want to live, because, you know, Bernie buggered off to Scotland, where would you want to go?
Anywhere in the world, man, I feel like either New Zealand or... And I'm not sure where in New Zealand, because I've only ever been to, not Wellington, what's the other
Auckland.
Side? Auckland.
Auckland. And 90% of the population of New Zealand is in Auckland, pretty much. Yeah. It's Auckland, yeah. And then everyone else.
Everywhere else. Yeah, I've been to Auckland, but the other place I'd want to move to, I think, is Melbourne, actually. I love Melbourne so much.
All right. Packed. How do we, by like X amount of time, if... like situations or COVID and America hasn't got their shit together by what date, we move to Australia or New Zealand. Are we in?
Been trying.
End of 2021. Let's do like a pinky, or doing pinky's promise, or like hands in thing.
Sure, all of it. Yeah, I have been trying. I've actually been meeting with migration companies from New Zealand as to like what you would need to have in place to make it happen. And the sad part is, at least while COVID's going, you can't from America.
Yeah, I know. I know you can't.
Right now, nada. No dice. But working on it.
It's so funny because, like, when I first moved to America, everyone's like, oh, who are you trying to marry to get an American green card? Oh, you're just trying to get a green card from that person. And now the tables have turned. And now the line is around the block for this dual citizenship.
Hell yeah. Well, if you guys want to come to Canada, let me know, because that's the card I could play right now. Ooh. But, you know, Canada's a great place. Would not recommend it between the months of November and April.
That's half a year. That's
just too cold.
Now, how is it where you are, Barb, in the winters?
In Austin here or back in Canada?
In Austin. Does it get snowy and everything?
It has snowed, but it's more like it'll snow, it'll sprinkle everything overnight, and then in the morning you'll see just like kind of remnants of it, and then it'll be gone by like mid-afternoon. So it'll get cold enough to snow. I was born in Montreal, and then I moved to Ottawa when I was a kid, and then I went back to Montreal for college, so kind of like those areas.
I've been to Montreal, I've been to Vancouver, I haven't been to Ottawa,
Ottawa.
Have I been to Toronto?
think.
Probably. You probably have. It's like, I feel like if you go to Canada, you're likely going to go to Vancouver or Toronto.
All I remember about Toronto, it's weird because when I was a kid, I collected basketball cards. I had two older brothers. And every time I hear Toronto, the Red Raptor, every the single Raptors, time, pops into my head. I am conditioned. We've got a couple of questions from the Discord. They've been coming in. We've kind of touched upon one of them. But I liked, what motivates you is a Jimmy Sprinkles question. What motivates you?
I think what motivates me is just not wanting to waste this time I have on the planet. And I feel like I was taught a lesson in college by a professor that has stuck with me so vividly. He said that 10% of what happens in your life, it's out of your control, but 90% of what determines your life is how you react to it. Mm-hmm. And that really stuck with me because it's like, for example, you wake up in the morning and you spill coffee on your shirt. You could get all frustrated. You could yell at your significant other. You could like just go off in a huff, have a bad day, maybe make someone else's day worse. Or it could be like, oh, well, that sucks. Let me just go change really fast. Like, that was dumb, whatever. And you have to recognize that there are some things that are out of your control and there's nothing you could do about it. Like if you miss the bus, okay, that happened. There's nothing I could do about it except now fix that. So I try to just stay positive and try to make the most of the time I have here on this earth, because life is so fleeting. And I think a lot of things that have happened this year have made me realize that, and really not wanting to take things for granted. That's kind of my motivation for just trying to be as positive and go-getter as possible and make the most out of everything.
That's lovely.
I love that.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get like that as well.
Maude.
Like, oh, I'm so reactionary. Yeah.
How would you answer that question?
What motivates me?
Yeah. Motivates.
Boom, chat, count it up.
Man, I'm not even thinking of puns. You're on a whole nother level.
My motivation is, honestly, I'm going through a little thing at the moment where I'm not entirely sure what my goals are or what I'm working towards. And I feel the last 3 years of my life, I've been running really fast on a treadmill. So I've been putting all this energy and effort into something that isn't going anywhere. And the thing I'm putting effort into is my life. So I really need to know what I'm working towards, because otherwise I'm just existing. Boom, you ask me a question, I'll give you a little truth. But I am working on getting a better mindset. Like, that's a huge thing. I've been listening to this book called The Compound Effect. It's free on Audible, but it's so great in saying that the more you do something in a habitual way that's negative, the more it will attract other negative things, and then that kind of like makes everything worse, and then you kind of spiral in a way. And I notice that I do complain, and I've just got no reason to, and I've got to stop that. So I am, really working on rewiring my default to be a positive outlook. And I completely agree with your professor, and just being like, you know, and Trisha's favorite book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. You know?
Yeah.
I love it.
That kind of stuff.
It's a really important lesson. I think like as you get older as well, it becomes more and more real of just like, there really isn't time to sweat the small stuff, because life moves regardless of what you do. Mm-hmm. And you just have to keep going.
But if you're on a treadmill, you're just sweating every stuff, you know? Got to get off the treadmill.
Constantly sweating. That's the new title when Maude writes.
Constantly sweating. Oh, man. If I had a biography, that's what it would be called for me. My God.
We have bonded. I've got a couple of Halloween questions from Ollie and from Thierry here. With Halloween around the corner, any good Halloween anecdotes that you're willing to share? And Ollie has said, has anyone given or received a good jump scare prank?
The Halloween story I always remember was my last year of college. I had spent, I think, 3 months making my own costume for the first time. I made a Princess Zelda costume from scratch.
Oh, yeah.
My soulmate.
And thank you. I like went to Goodwill and found like this huge white skirt and like this bodice thing. And I used cardboard with paint for the little like front piece that hangs there and everything like that. I worked so hard on it. And everyone who I saw that night was just like, this looks fucking awesome. Oh, my God. And of course, some people are just like, oh, are you from Lord of the Rings? And I'm like, okay, well, I know not to be friends with you because you don't know what Zelda is. But I went to a costume contest that night, and like everyone I was with was like, you're so going to win. Like everyone else is in like, I'm a sexy bunny costume, blah, blah, blah. And the winner of it went to this girl who was dressed as one of those like Vegas showgirl things with like the big feather thing, which was just like a sequence bikini and a feather, essentially. And everyone in the audience was like booing because, and like pointing at me. They're just like, what the hell? Like, this is clearly a good costume. Apparently the girl who won was girlfriends of the person who was hosting the contest. And I was like, ah, that's cool.
Rigged.
Man, so, learning about nepotism so early.
I know. It was just, I was so bummed out. And then the costume, I could never wear it again because it was one of those like 10-foot costumes where it like looks good from 10 feet away, but close up it's like staples and glue and yeah, all that stuff.
I love it. My like first three cosplays were that before kind of figured out better how to operate. Because when you try to wear a costume like that at a convention, it inevitably falls apart by around 1 or 2 o'clock. And then you're traveling with your fabric tape and your stapler.
Oh my god,
it happens. It happens.
It fell apart very quickly, I can definitely confirm.
Well, let's get stuck into the power. We can take it a couple more questions at the end of the show, but we are talking about what you are playing, watching, and reading, and you've been getting into it. Trish, you've got something you'd like to share.
I had a really good question from Twitch chat, but that's okay. Let me see if I can copy it into a separate document and save it for
later.
No,
ask away.
This is from Boyce Games. Exactly. Says, question for Barb. Just looking up your filmography, and I see that you've done quite a bit of acting in VO. Have you continued auditioning and acting during the pandemic? And if so, do you have any tips for acting from home?
Oh, gosh. I haven't auditioned for anything or done anything really new during quarantine other than just the current projects that we're working on at Rooster Teeth and, like, our internal stuff. But just for home, I think, like, really invest in good equipment. I think a lot of people get, you know, a microphone that works for them. But if you really get high quality stuff, if you want to submit professional auditions and do professional VO, you got to have quality stuff and find a place in your home that you could record that stuff undisturbed. So, yeah, I mean, for voice acting in general, too, I think just learning what you could do in terms of what your range is. I think a lot of people think that voice acting and acting are different, but essentially they're the same thing. So if you want to be a voice actor, I suggest taking acting lessons if and when you can in a safe way, because that's a good way to get into it for sure.
Woohoo! Love that. Thank
Very
you,
quick
Barb. Thank you, Boyce Games, for the question. All right, so now, Barb, what you playing?
Oh, goodness. Games with my heart. I am playing a number of games. It got really into Among Us, which I'm sure 99% of the people watching have as well. Love that game so
Imposterous.
Much. I'm the imposter. I swear. I didn't vent. It was not me. I've been playing that with friends very frequently. We do streams of it almost weekly at this point, both with Rooster Teeth and on Twitch and stuff like that. I have been replaying Portal 2.
Such a good game.
I think it might be my favorite, honestly. Like, looking back on it, I think it might be my favorite.
How long has it been between dips? Because I think I finished that in 2012.
Yeah, I played it when it, I guess it when it first came out, which was 2011, 2010 maybe.
I'll find out.
I only remember that game so vividly because it was, I played it when I moved back home after college in the year between graduating and working at Rooster Teeth. So I played 2011, yeah. I played Portal 2 and then I played Skyrim, and those were like my favorite games at the time.
10 out of 10 on Steam, 95% on Metacritic. It is an amazing game. I didn't play it by myself. I only played it multiplayer because someone else was figured out physics better than I ever could and just told me what to do, and it was great.
It's so good. The storyline, the humor, the physics, everything in that game is just so much fun. So I've been replaying that on stream on roosterteeth.com, which has been really, really fun.
Are you playing it solo or with somebody else?
Solo. But I think it makes me want to do the co-op now. So I think maybe when I finish the playthrough of the game, I might pick up co-op with someone and stream that after. Can't get enough.
I broke a story back in 2014, and then Reddit only found it 2 years later. I was doing a bit of research on J.J. Abrams for one of the Star Trek movies, and I was like, is it true that you've got the rights to Portal and Half-Life? And he said, yeah, and I'd really like to be able to make movies on it. And I went, that's awesome, quietly trying to not lose my shit because, you know, Star Trek or whatever. And then I put that up on Geek Bomb, and yeah, like no one saw it. Go Geek Bomb early days. And then it took off. But I want to see, I've seen fan films, I've seen like adaptations of what Portal could look like. I think it would be such an amazing revolutionary movie where for one of the first times in the world, the movie is as good or better than the video game. And the video game's a 10 out of 10.
That'd be, I would love to see that. It's such an amazing game and it makes me laugh. I don't think there's a lot of video games that make me laugh while I'm playing them.
GLaDOS.
So nice.
You're 9999999.
My chat has heard me say this, but Portal 2 is one of the games that I try to get my husband to play with me, and he was over it in about 20 minutes. So we got about 20 minutes in.
He's still your husband.
I know. We do not connect in video games. We play D&D together. We play tabletop games together, but we don't really connect when it comes to video games. Which is why I'm more of like a solo experience PC gamer. This is my domain. The only thing
that's
I think.
That's why you got a work wife.
Yeah. It's honestly true. It's why I have other friends I play video games with. Because when you play video games with someone that's like, I don't like Portal. Nah, I tried Divinity Original Sin 2 co-op. And it wasn't for me. I'm like, really? Okay.
Really? Okay, bye. Yeah.
He's much more like a console, like Borderlands co-op he'll get down with, but not so much into the more puzzly physics-based, or even RPG, which I was like, you love D&D, you should love Divinity Original Sin 2, but after like 40 minutes he was like, ugh, I'd rather just play real D&D.
Fair enough.
Is Divinity Original Sin 1 just not playable? Is 2 the best of that? Is that where I should start?
It's not playable by any means. The first one's really good too. And I think they came out with a deluxe edition or a definitive edition before 2 came out. In my opinion, those aren't the type of games where like you need the story from the first one to play the second one. So I'm like, jump in wherever you want. I mean, they're very much similar to Baldur's Gate, where you could replay it a million times and get a bajillion different play experiences because it's RPG.
I'm getting PTSD if you say Baldur's Gate at the moment.
Barb, are you playing Baldur's Gate 3?
No, I'm not. But I just like seeing Maud's reaction, because it's a very visceral reaction, it seems like.
I've got Original Sin Enhanced Edition.
Oh.
So that's the first one, I believe.
Okay, I got the first one. I also have Among Us. Playing... So, Barb, if you want to have trust issues developed between us.
Please. Hey. Here's the thing about me and Among Us. I am awful at lying. Like, if someone catches me doing something and they call a meeting and do all that stuff, some people are able to do the whole thing where it's like, oh, yeah, I saw Barbara kill that person. And the other person goes, well, I saw Maud kill that person. I can't do that. I'm just like, yeah, you did. I'm done. You found me. I'm the imposter.
I was playing Among Us with some friends yesterday on stream. And I was the imposter like 3 or 4 times in a row. And I was
so stressful
the whole time. Like, not me again, not me again. Although one time I did get to be the imposter with Jason Mewes, who I don't know personally, but through mutual friends that were playing Among Us was in the group. And that was kind of cool. Not going to lie, I fangirled like a little bit. That was very cool.
It's so much fun. And it's just like, it's such a simple game, but it allows for so much like different dynamics when you have different people playing it. So that's the fun for me.
It is. It's like a huge connector. Apparently after I jumped offline playing one day, T-Pain was playing with the same people I was playing with like a couple hours later. Like it's such a random bringing everybody together game.
You can't accuse T-Pain. You can't be like, I thought T-Pain killed someone. It's like, my name's T-Pain. Like, that's all you're seeing. That was bad. Don't count that. Don't put I feel bad for me. Hey, let's move on to watching.
Let's do it. But give me a second.
I can give you a second.
There we go. I got it. We're good. Crisis averted. Barbara, what are you watching right now?
Trisha was the imposter.
It was her. I am watching a number of things.
Let us put up the graphic to remind you.
Yes. I was kind of like, what did I tell you? Trevor and I started watching the Imagineering story on Disney Plus, which is essentially the story of Disneyland and then Disney World and like all the parks and stuff like that. And it's just fascinating because I love seeing behind the scenes like that, and how things come together and seeing people who are so unimaginably talented and skilled at something I could never fathom figuring out, to do these things and to make these things a reality. I would highly recommend it if you're looking for something that's just so fascinating and interesting to watch, but also just like no pressure at all. It's not stressful. It's just easy. And I think we could all use something like that these days. So we've been watching that. And something I also like to do is rewatch shows that I've seen in completion years later, because it comforts me, especially in times where I'm super anxious, knowing what's going to happen and the plot line to it. So I've been rewatching Desperate Housewives, which is a show I think from like the early 2000s, if you guys have ever seen it.
Yeah, Wisteria Lane.
Yeah, that's the one. It's kind of like, if no one has seen it who's in chat, it's almost like a murder mystery, the entire show. It's not what you would expect from a show called Desperate Housewives, because you think of like the Housewives of Orange County or something like that, that's very like, I don't know, reality TV and stuff like that. But this is scripted, it's narrated, it's really interesting. It's a very unique show.
Yeah, Eva Longoria's career, right?
I think so, yeah. I think this might have been her first big thing, yeah.
And it was Terry Hatcher's, like, comeback from being...
Yeah, after Lois and... Yeah.
Yeah.
Aw, Lois and Clark. I miss that show.
Yeah, but then Dean Cain started using the internet, and you're like, oh, maybe...
Yeah, that didn't need to happen ever. I would have been okay with that. Barb, so you said you like to go back and rewatch series that you've already seen in completion. Have you ever had an experience where you rewatched something and it hit different because you were at a different spot in your life?
I think so. I think maybe more so I've watched stuff that I've seen before where I'm just like, ooh, this wouldn't fly in 2020. That doesn't necessarily age well. I think of like Friends, there's some jokes that are a little off color. Even like The Office, there's some stuff where it's just like, oh man, like, I know it's a little more edgy, but, and by the way, like, I love those shows. Office, we rewatch all the time. I've rewatched through Friends probably 4 times at this point, because they're comfort shows. It's kind of like comfort food where you just like, you just want something on, and so you just put it on. Mm-hmm. But yeah. What about you guys? Anything like that for you?
Reading Harry Potter again as an adult, understanding trauma, and like, Harry would frustrate me a little bit when I was a kid. I'm like, come on, dude, what? Like, he's moping. Why does he yell at Ron so much? As an adult, I'm like, this poor boy was orphaned and then his family rejected him. Of course he's got abandonment issues. He's faced so much shit and I'm surprised he's still even like half decent as a person. And then he has the prophecy of saving the world. It really blew my mind as an adult, kind of like processing what Harry went through. And I was like, respect to this fictional kid now.
Yeah, you're rocking my world right now. I didn't even think about it that way until just now. Yeah.
And how his relationship with death, you know, Cedric Diggory died in front of him, but then like, you know, his association and fame is built around the fact that he survived when his parents died. Like, oh my God. Like, yeah, I did a book club of all 7 books with that for Nerdist and we unpacked a lot. And it was like just very interesting as well, seeing Dolores Umbridge and me saying that she's the epitome of what lawful evil stands for.
She's so evil.
That whole thing. But that was really, really, really interesting.
That's eye-opening, yeah. My gosh.
Yeah. Different shows hit me different. A lot of stuff. Shows and games hit me different since I had a kid. Like, I would watch them one way before. And that, like, the funniest one for me is Finding Nemo. Watching Finding Nemo as a parent, it's a horror film. Oh, it's a straight up horror film. Like, my chat has probably heard me say this a million times, but essentially it's like Taken with Fish.
Oh my God.
Like,
that's
You start the movie. Jeez. This family just moved into a new neighborhood, bought a new house. They're expecting kids. A murderer comes in and straight up murders the mom and all of the unborn babies, except for one, which is forever mutilated.
Oh,
and the one that survives just has the dad. And then someone comes and kidnaps the poor handicapped child And the dad has to get through the whole ocean and all this stuff trying to kill him, sharks and jellies and everything, just to save his son. Like, it's just a horror story from start to finish as a parent.
You guys are rocking my world right now. My God.
The dad does have a particular set of skills, though.
Right?
I was waiting for it. I will find you.
Speaking of Disney, we brought it all back around to Disney. Do you know how many episodes the Imagineering story is, Barb?
I want to say it's 8, maybe? It's a bit of a shorter one. I don't think I mentioned in my email talking about the shows I've been watching when I was talking to you guys about the show, but I also recently finished all there is released so far of the show called Search Party. Have you guys seen that show?
No.
It's on HBO.
No, what's it about?
Oh, it's about basically this girl goes missing. And the main character sees a flyer and she's like, oh, I went to school with this person. I kind of recognize them. And she gets obsessed over this missing person's case. And I almost don't want to tell you anything else about it.
Okay, that's fair.
A little bit more.
Can you tell us what genre you would say this show falls into?
Thriller, almost? Drama thriller?
Like crime drama-ish?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That helps actress, me.
Alia Shawkat?
It's the girl from Arrested Development, I think? Let me search.
Do a quick Google. That's the beauty of doing a show on your computer. Quick Google.
Fact check as you go.
Yeah, I'm
Alia Shawkat. Yeah.
Okay.
Or Shawkat.
Yeah.
She plays a character named Dory. She was at Arrested Development. Yeah, that's
back
the show.
To Nemo.
Dory. So funny.
Bring it back to my first pun on the door. I'm a little bit confused with Disney Plus because I feel like they've done about 4 different documentaries. One of them sort of about Disney himself. Another one about like the behind the scenes of how to the writer of a lot of the Disney original Disney classic animations music. I host a streaming recommendation show, and I feel like I brought up about 4 or 5 different Disney documentaries already.
Interesting.
Or are they all the same one? And I just keep.
It's possible that there's some. I know there's another one that someone told me about. I think it's also on Disney Plus, but it's like a prop maker show, so it's like behind all the props.
Yes.
And that one I definitely want to check out too, because I would love to see the making of that kind of stuff. I'm a super geek over that.
Well, and then there's the Mandalorian documentary too, that you can see them. So you're right. There are a lot of Disney docs out there.
They
right
like their
now.
Docs, yeah.
I do think they're fascinating though.
And I do like that you're learning and there's no expectation and it does feel like a bit of a hug and it's like safe and fine. Yeah. Cause there's like, I feel really bad for a bunch of different movies and TV shows that have come out. And it's like, look, it would be good. I cannot in good conscience recommend it because it's so stressful or it's like, you know, exploring things of isolation or it's just like, this is not the year for this.
There's definitely a lot of content that we've been putting off until we're in the right mindset for it. Like I really do want to see the Jeffrey Epstein documentary, but I don't think I've been in the right headspace for it. There's this new documentary on Netflix about social media. I'm blanking on what it's called.
the social dilemma.
Yeah. I really want to watch this, but I don't want to feel bad. I want to like just relax and unwind at the end of the day after feeling so stressed. And it's like, do I want to get into this right now? So that's one we're still waiting to watch.
I'm trying to curb my social habits actually.
Yeah,
but it's
too.
Just it's interesting just to see. Yeah, I didn't find it to be super super like scary. It's just like whoa. It's actually it's kind of scary.
I think it's like the horror movie of this Halloween, The Social Dilemma. Yeah. It's pretty terrifying. I got about halfway through The Social Dilemma, and about halfway through the Jeffrey Epstein docs before my husband and I were both like, this needs to be on pause for a little bit. Because exactly like you said, Barb, it's like you need to be in the right mental place. And while on one hand, I want to be informed about those subjects, so I want to watch them for that reason. On the other hand, there's a lot of stuff in the world right now that's not good. And it's real. Yeah. That was me on Twitter today. I went on Twitter for, no joke, 2 seconds this morning to retweet your tweet, Barb, about today. And then I looked at the trending topics, and I was like, nope, and just closed that browser window, and I was out.
It's every day. It's every day. And it's just, I think the state of things have made people so divisive about everything. It's not even politics anymore. It's just created this, like, constant division of any subject. It's just tiring. It's exhausting.
Yep.
I want to go back to the division on my timeline being like PC versus console. You know what I mean?
Yeah, me too.
Batman versus Iron Man. Like, I want to go back to those days. But that's not our world right now.
I'll do stuff like that for Geek Bomb all the time. And we'll be like, hey, what are you liking the most out of this? Are you this or that kind of person? Just to have like input or a comment on opinion. And then I could get barraged with like, oh, I am so sick to death of comparison things. Why can't we just all, why does it have to be such a comparison? And you're like, oh my God, I can't even post innocent things correctly because people have an opinion on what's acceptable and what's not for that as well. If you don't like it, don't comment.
Well, it's, I mean, there's a lot of serious stuff going on in the world right now, you know, like Barb said, that's putting people on edge. And so hopefully we'll reach a point in our future, mayhaps, where we can, you know, actually deal with some of the stuff that's going on in the world that's making people so unhappy. Maybe that's too idealistic of a viewpoint, but
I hope so. I think I'm trying to be hopeful. And I actually was talking to my parents about this a few weeks ago. Just, you know, a lot of this is very doom and gloom, and it just feels really heavy and scary, just like everything happening at once and having the global pandemic being a thing and being in quarantine. And I think it was my dad who said, you know, sometimes things have to get really, really bad before they could start to get better again. And that's just kind of what I'm like, yeah, I'm just got to hold on to that. Hold on to that idea of like, we're in the bad right now. And hopefully at some point we could start to get out of it.
Bring back up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is true. And then it's like people will look to improve and do better and be better because that, you know, the rock bottom kind of sucked so hard that it's, in a weird way, more invigorating to try and get out of it.
Yep.
There you go. Well,
fingers.
With that being said, a lot of people escape from the world's problems into reading and books.
Wow, what a segue. Wow. Bravo, masterful.
So, Barbara, tell us about what you've been reading.
So I've been reading a book called Everything is Figureoutable by Marie Forleo. I think that's how you pronounce her name. I actually never heard it being spoken before. And this book was actually sent to me for my birthday by none other than Troy Baker, who I know you guys are very familiar with. He's
Troy.
A very good friend of mine, very wonderful person. He knows I've been kind of struggling mentally here and there. So it was, I think, a way for him to be like, here, read this. And hopefully this will, you know, help you out a little bit. But it's really been eye-opening. And I think even just the mantra of everything is figureoutable, once you go through the book and realize that that is true to an extent. Obviously, there are many things that are like not within your control, but there are things you could do and small steps you could take to allow yourself to digest things and to understand things and to even just do little things to get to a place where you could figure it out. And I think what I tend to do is I get so overwhelmed and try to fix everything at once and think, I'm so far deep into this, I don't know how I'm going to get out or figure this out. And it's like, okay, well, let me just do this one thing. And then once that is done, I can move on to the next thing and the next thing. And this book is fantastic in doing that. I'm only like a third of the way through, but it's highly recommended if anybody is suffering with that, which I know a lot of people are.
Well, for the first time this year, like I've just spent my reading career really locked into one genre, and that's sci-fi fantasy. I've been evolving in so many ways. I never thought I would be an audiobook person, and now I struggle to not listen to an audiobook. I never thought I'd be like a self-help or nonfiction kind of reader. And my God, when someone's like, hey, you know that kind of thing you've never really understood? Here are some answers. You're like, oh, I would like more of that, please. And it's so interesting just to see how sort of like things that I can apply to my life and habits in a fundamental way where positive changes are happening straight away. And I there's even just something about, oh my God, I know more than I did before, even if that before was this morning. And I love learning. And so that's been really cool. So what were the three big things you've learned so far from Figure It Outable?
The first one I learned was how to say figure outable.
Now, good for you.
Good for you. I will be completely honest. I definitely was reading it for a while, and then some things have happened in the last couple weeks that have shaken me, and I haven't really had the motivation to read it. So I'm a little kind of getting back into it at this point, but just, nothing is permanent. Nothing that you're doing in life is where you are obligated to be. So if there's a job that you're in or a place that you're living where you're just not fulfilled or not happy, you don't have to do it. You could find something else, you could try things, and it's never too late. And I think that's a common thing that we would see, especially when I used to do Always Open, we would get questions about people, you know, scared about their future or what they should do after college or whatever it is. And it's like, there's never a time in your life that's too late to change your mind or to change direction. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really daunting to think at like, all right, at college, when you're graduated, you're 22, and you have to know what you're gonna do for the rest of your life. It's such a daunting idea for so many people. And honestly, you could be friggin' 60 and change career directions if you wanted to, or change where you wanted to live, and it's not too late. And I think having that kind of in the back of your mind is really comforting, and knowing that like, if you're not happy, you could do something else. And like, yeah, you might struggle financially or struggle in a different way, but nothing is permanent in that sense, and you will figure it out.
You know? I recently heard that when it comes to a career, you get to have three, out of the three, you get two. So it's, you know, whatever job you have, you get to have really great mental health. It gets to be a job that you're super passionate about, and that's it's a thing that you love, or it's consistent and stable. And you only get two of those. So if you want to have good mental health and passion, it's not going to be stable. If you want to have stability and good mental health, it's probably going to be quite boring. And it's like super interesting to see the reality.
It's so true. It's so true. Yeah. And I think that's probably something that all three of us could probably relate to, is like being in this industry that we're in. I think mental health probably takes the biggest toll, or stability sometimes, depending on if it's like a permanent role or a gig or anything like that. But man, mental health.
I was the one, like, those two go back and forth, because if I'm working enough that it's consistent, then my mental health is most definitely suffering. But if I'm working just as much as like I'm enjoying it, then it's probably not consistent.
Stable. Yeah. It's so true. It's so true.
But the thing that doesn't ever change, Trish, for you is passion. It's always something that you're really passionate about. So that's pretty cool.
I always say I am so fortunate, and I'm sure you both feel this way as well. So fortunate to have fallen into the line of work that I'm in, where I essentially get to geek out about the stuff that I'm passionate about on camera. Mm-hmm. That is super, super, super cool. And when I went to college, I went for classical theater because there was no degree in games journalism, and you know, at the colleges that I had access to, there wasn't any like, here's your be a movie star degree. So it was like, if you want to be in the entertainment industry, your choice is theater, and I don't sing or dance, so it was musical or classical theater. So I went classical theater and then came to LA hoping someone would want to hear me do Greek tragedy. Spoiler alert, nobody does. Nobody wants to hear
that. I want to do it.
You go to your first like any of it? Toothpaste commercial, and you're like, but I can do Chekhov, and all they want to do is see your profile and send you out the door.
And they check out.
But yeah, so when I tripped and fell into an audition that I didn't know was for Philip DeFranco, but that ended up being for Philip DeFranco, and he was like, no, I just, you know, like the people running the audition were like, can you just talk about the stuff you like, though? And I had never been asked that before in an audition. So now the fact that that has spun into a career and enabled me to do what I do is amazing. Just mind blowing.
Yeah, for sure. Wow.
So, I mean, Bob, you're the pinnacle of that. You were a fan that became the manager of the community. You know, like that passion literally got you and landed you a job that you've had for the last 10 years.
Yeah. I felt unbelievably fortunate every single day being in this job and getting to do what I do. Because I know it's such a rare experience getting to work for a company that you're that passionate about. And it's still surreal to me, even 10 years later, that I'm working at Rooster Teeth. I still fangirl over Jeff.
So fun.
Jeff's been so big he can't leave the building, though.
Yeah. Well, they say, like, I think, what is it? Success is a mixture of hard work and luck.
It's preparation and opportunity, right?
Yeah, that's the one. Preparation and opportunity. So, you know, like,
but there are ways to create opportunities. Yeah,
absolutely. I look at my friend Wes, who you guys might have seen. He's a photographer.
Yeah. We met shoot all in all New York.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I remember that. But he's wildly talented. Such a great guy. So incredible at what he does, and we actually met because I was going to be in Orlando for a convention, and I happened to be looking at my Instagram DM requests, which I look at like once every 2 months because it's usually just, you know, dick pics or like random stuff like that, whatever it is. And I happened to see this message from this guy, Wes, saying like, hey, I know this is a long shot, but I saw you're going to be in Orlando for a convention. I love Rooster Teeth. I would love the opportunity to shoot with you. And I went to his profile and I was like, okay, this guy's actually pretty good. And we agreed to meet up. His girlfriend was there. We met in the public space. We were, you know, safe about it, as you should always be meeting people on the internet, mm-hmm. if you do. And we just got along really well. He worked really great and quickly and professionally. And we just kept in touch. And then when there was a photography position at Rooster Teeth opening up, I recommended him. And he got the job. And he constantly thanks me. But I'm like, dude, like, you're amazing at what you do. I just kind of unlocked the door for you, but you opened it and walked through, you know? So it's, again, preparation and opportunity.
Yeah.
100%. Is there something in your life that someone still thanks you specifically for? Trish, I'm looping in with that question too.
That okay, go ahead. You answer first, Barbara, because give me time to think.
There's actually, so Wes is one of those people. He thinks, he's like, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. And I'm like, dude, like, I helped, but you put the work in. Another person is actually Blaine. He was a volunteer at our convention, RTX, and he was my PA for the weekend. So he was like helping me get to panels and like take photos with fans for me and stuff like that. And again, I noticed he was a really awesome guy. He busted his ass all weekend. And so when there was an internship opportunity at Rooster Teeth, I suggested him for it because I knew he was just graduating college or like in his last year of college or whatever it was. And now he's like one of the most important vital parts of the company. And he's
when
just
was
like,
that?
I wouldn't.
How long ago was that?
I want to say like, I think it was RTX 2013 that he was my PA.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah. So it's just cool to find good people, but it's again,
that's proximity. Someone was saying that timing and proximity are also the factors, but they often get left out. Mm-hmm. But if you're continually around a space where the opportunities you want exist, then things like
absolutely.
That can happen.
That's how they say is the best way if you want to have a career in esports in any avenue other than competitive gaming, if you want to be in marketing or talent management or production or anything like that, to just go to esports events, like hang around those circuits, get to know those people. And that's a really good in because we're still at a point where there aren't really any degrees you can go get or schooling you can go get to do that specific thing. So you have to be ingrained in that community to then move into that world.
100%.
Yep.
Connections also are a huge thing.
Stepping stone companies like Geekbomb, where it's you might not be sort of like completely skilled and you're still very much in a green sort of stage, but hopefully you can, you know, it's a place where you can do your best and also fail and it's not the end of the world.
Well, I was going to say that to answer your own question, you probably have people, from Geek Bomb that are thankful that you gave them a start there, you know?
There are a couple of people who have been trying to tarnish my reputation for the last 7 years, and I can't do anything about it because I'm not in the country.
What are their names and where do they live? Let me add them.
But there are people that, yeah, there's absolutely, actually, there are, even those two people, they would not be in this position that they are in right now if it wasn't for the work at Geek Bomb and establishing that and meeting new networks and redefining what they want in life. That was absolutely the trajectory. And so if they want to hate me for it, like, whatever. But it's like, everyone's sort of like going and doing what they want to be doing instead of what they feel like they have to be doing. And that's the most important thing. The one standout for me was in 2007, on a job for Nickelodeon, I went and traveled to Perth. And I was there with my female producer. And we were like, what are we going to do? We're in Perth for a couple of nights. And I was like, oh, I know, I have one friend. And so we hung out with my one friend.
I have one friend.
And they met, started dating, and 13 years later are still together.
Oh, I thought you were going to say.
They're married. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Like after a while, but they got married. Great. And they've been living in New York for like the last 5 years. But every single New Year's Eve, they say, we toast you, Maud. Because aww, like, without you, this would never have happened. And I was like,
if they have a kid, are they going to name it Maud?
I hope not. Like, that's mean. But I love that. I love love, and I love that love could have happened from that one chance encounter. And I'm waiting for my Maud to set me.
You know what? It will happen. The only person I've ever made an introduction for like that, I feel like, same as you were saying, Barb, where it's like this person is already supremely talented and just needs the door unlocked. That's it.
Yeah.
And this person was unlocking doors on their own as well. But Amy Vorpal, who I know, Maud, you know Amy. I was at Comic-Con HQ, so this was back in, what was that, 2016? Comic-Con HQ was 2016, I think.
Yep.
When I was back at Comic-Con HQ, we had an opening on our writing staff, and there were the two people, it was a three-person team, and two of them were guys, so they were like, hey, we really need a female writer that knows the nerd space. And I had guested on Saving Throw Show, where Amy was a player, and she was so funny, and I had also seen her perform at Groundlings in sketch comedy one time when I went to see Lee Newton perform, because they were performing together. So I had seen Amy twice. I knew if she was in Groundlings, she was a good writer, because you don't get to Groundlings at that level without being a good writer, and a good comedy writer at that, which is what they needed. And from Saving Throw Show, just from talking to her, I knew that she knew this world. Yeah. And so I suggested her for that, and she ended up getting that job. And then from there, ended up going on to write with Legendary, with Geek and Sundry and Nerdist, and then from there ended up going on to being on camera personality, and now she has this like huge wonderful career. She got me, she's such a sweetheart, as a thank you for that, she got me the Game of Thrones goblets that that Joffrey Purple Weddings himself.
Yeah.
I now have those goblets that Amy Vorpal was so lovely to send me for introduction.
That's
for Comic-Con sweet. HQ. But she's so supremely talented. And like I said, she was at that level of Groundling. So she'd been putting in the work for quite a long time before that point.
Blaine and Wes haven't gotten me shit. Oh, man.
Blaine?
I'm just kidding. I will say, like, anytime we would go out drinking, obviously pre-quarantine, Blaine would always be like, I have to buy you a drink because and I'm just like, yeah, you do. So now I have at least one free drink from him every time we go out.
Yay! And that adds up. That compounds.
Yes. Yeah. It's one goblet.
Mm-hmm. I think, sometimes all you need is someone to believe in you. And I think the power of believing in someone and their ability is just, such an amazing, life-changing thing. And I'm almost like, how can I keep doing it as well?
Yeah.
What an amazing power-up show. I have a feeling we're going to have a great power down. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I also love how we went through the range of emotions of, like, things that kind of get us down, things that terrify us, things that are uplifting and make us happy and grateful all throughout this. So it was a nice, full-fledged episode.
Do you guys feel like, because of quarantine and because connection is so important, that the quality of connection that you have with people now is so much greater?
Yep.
I would agree with that. I connect so much deeper with people that I think previously I maybe only connected with on a surface level. Just little things. Like, I had a phone call with a friend this morning that normally would have been very like, oh, how you doing? What you up to? Okay, cool. I hope you have a great day. Bye. And, like, they just randomly out of nowhere get to, like, a deep soul level.
Yeah. It's insane.
I've always had a theory in life where if you ask how I am, I'll tell you. I don't do good, poor checkout people at the supermarket. Hi, how are you? I think I'm feeling a little fragile today. The 26 chocolate bars that I'm about to purchase, but you
all
know.
The wine.
And they're like, that's nice. And I'm like, you asked me. So I've always craved really, really deep connection. And I think that now with COVID, I get it matched from people. And before, when, you know, conversations would be danced around or it's fine. I'm like, hey, it doesn't have to be fine. And we can talk about that. And I'm like, I love meaningful, deep conversations.
So absolutely.
Even though it's like, you know, shittiness bonding us, it's bonding.
It's bonding. Yeah, that's the thing.
It is. And I would say through this show, Maude, you and I have gotten a lot closer just connecting once a week for this.
Yeah.
Like, we were big friends time. Before, but now we talk so often, you know? And having Barb on the show, I love that Barb and Maude have such a beautiful friendship history, and I'm a little jelly, so it's been lovely to get to know you better, Barb, through just digital connection,
too,
but
absolutely.
Still.
I don't think Barb and I had a chance. We first met and we're like, oh my God, we're so similar. I guess it could have gone two ways. It could have been too similar and it's just like, but it wasn't at all. It was just like, oh cool, you're my person. That's good.
It's just like, it's so refreshing to find people in this industry who have the same mindset as you, but also just to find people who aren't competitive. And I'm not trying to say like all women in the gaming and entertainment industry are competitive. Of course not. I think there's been an amazing movement of people being supportive and lifting each other up. But I've always admired both of you for just always being like that and being such amazing role models for so many people, myself included. And just to see that there's just this support system and this amazing community around you guys and just the people you are and everything like that. And to see you guys just lift each other up and lift other people up. It's really beautiful and really rare these days. So you'll love to see it.
I was going to say, there is a similarity with both of you where it was that from the get-go, you showed me exactly who you were. You were real. There was a genuine, and I think in LA, like I really, even in Sydney, I really, really struggled with what's your real intention? And are you feeding me bits of information or trying to get something out of me so you can use it against me? Sydney was incredibly vindictive like that because there was such little work around. And so it became, as a consequence, thoroughly competitive. And I think the best thing that ever happened to me was LA with numerous jobs. And hey, this isn't the best fit for me, but this is really good for this person. And that interchangeability, which was so, so vital. But I think the reason why I hold you guys at such a high esteem is because when I ask you how you are, you gave me, this is exactly how I am. And, you know, I respect that so much. Yeah.
It's nice to meet people who are willing to be that open and candid and not try to pretend like everything's okay. Cause I think that's how problems are caused, because then you compare yourself to how people are doing and think like, oh, well, if they're doing okay and I'm struggling, like what am I lacking or what am I doing wrong? And just being more open. And I mean, it's honestly one of the reasons I started Always Open when I did, because I was like, I feel like people need to be honest about these things. And there needs to, this taboo of not talking about mental health and sexuality and things that like we should be comfortable in and know that like everyone struggles with these things and not pretend like everything's okay and not pretend like your social media is your real life. It's your highlight reel. Of course. Yeah, like we need to know that.
So, yeah. And Always Open is so refreshing. And I'm so glad that you started that, Barb. It's so nice for people to have a place to come and feel like they can talk about that stuff and just be themselves. And kudos to you for all of that work you've done to open people up.
Thank you. I definitely miss it.
problems will live inside your head, especially if you don't talk about it, and you get convinced that this is only your problem and this is only happening to you and there's no way out and it can consume you. But yeah. I notice a lot of the time with these conversations, to hear someone else going through something similar to you is the most sort of like manageable, hopeful feeling. Even if it's
like a warm blanket. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God, I'm also going through that. I'm not alone. This is like a universal problem. Or even if it's not, there's one other that is going through what I'm going through. And so like, yeah, hearing coping mechanisms or how to get through it or what worked, like all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Great show. Yeah. Great show.
Great show. I know. I feel like we're like edging into power down already, even though we're still in power up. So at this point, we should say thank you to everybody who watched this episode of Power Up. Thank you so much to Barb for being on the show.
Yay, thank you for having me. It's an honor, truly. Truly an honor.
And thank you for telling us all the stuff that you're playing, watching, and reading. And if you're watching this live, thank you for being here on the Twitch. If you are watching this or listening to this in the future, thank you for being here with us in the future via podcast or Geek Bomb. You are amazeballs. And if you want to support the show, Maud, where can they do that?
You can jump onto patreon.com/geekbomb. If you sign up to any tier, you get full access to the Discord where we talk about this show. We get questions in from you guys for our guests every week and every other week. And if you're $10 and higher, you get access to our Power Down episodes where we get real, real.
Yeah.
And that's coming up.
Woot, oh, woot.
It's going down.
All right. So at this point, I do want to say, I know I have Twitch notifications turned off for the entirety of us recording this show. So I want to take just a moment to thank Classy Librarian so much for the raid. Zraken75, thank you for gifting 10 subs on this channel. You're an amazing human being. Welcome to the Dragon Riders, everyone. Ravenman13 and Roars, I love your name. Thank you for the follow. Gblink16, thank you for the resub and a tier 2 with that. Enjoy those extra emotes. Kumquat86, Revenge of Shinobi, I like your name too. Doomtack, YYZ, Caladian, Shannibal, thank you all for the follows. Ohio Grown, thank you for the resub. Inverted108, C Toyota, Sorcerer Killing Monsters, again, the names are killing it today. Octohi, JRev1313, and Pantheon, thank you guys all so much for the follow. Thank you for being here. Barb, Maud, do you have anything you want to promote as to when the next time you'll be live or on anything is?
I mean, we're live almost every day on roosterteeth.com. We have a live stream service there that we do gameplay on. We have podcasts, all that stuff, and it's free to watch. The chat is exclusively for our paid membership, but you could come and watch if you're ever looking for something to do. We're gaming there all day, every day.
Woohoo. I hear the community is pretty cool.
they're pretty great. I don't want to brag or anything.
Word on the street is that Rooster Teeth is pretty awesome.
They're pretty good.
Maud, when are you streaming next?
I'll be streaming over the weekend. Last weekend I streamed for about 11 hours, so I probably need to calm down. I know, I got into
goodness.
Today. It's making me very confused about whether I want to live or not. I don't know. So I've got to... I've got to figure out literally life with that. But when it happens, it's usually sporadic. So jump over to twitch.tv/geekbomb because I'd like to try and get 6K soon. Would be lovely.
6,000 followers?
Make it happen.
I would like to try and get there. That's the next goal. And then Fundons and Flagons. Episode 6 will be on Monday night at 6 p.m. Last episode, Trisha was on and crushed it. It was a very complex sort of puzzle game.
I got to like bring out the crazy eyes, which always makes me happy. It was very fun. And yeah, I probably won't be streaming again until Sunday morning, Sunday chill stream. As always, if I can squeeze in a stream between now and then, I totally will. But we'll see what happens.
Trish, we need to play. We all need to play Among Us together.
Yes.
Please. Super okay. Yes.
Anytime.
I would love that. Okay, so with that being said, thank you for watching, everybody. We're going to go record Power Down, and we'll see you soon. Bye, everybody. Bye.